it's never too late to start, because I started calisthenics pretty late. I didn't think I would be able to do anything, and look at me now. Don't let anyone tell you what you can or can't do.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorilla Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is the Swedish freestyle beast, three times national Swedish champion, Nordic champion, and one of the most successful girls in the calisthenics game. I'm super happy to welcome you to the show, Malin Malle Jansson.
Thank you so much for having me. What an introduction.
Yeah, like I prepared it for hours. Your Instagram bio was a good help for that. But it's impressive, impressive titles. And I think it doesn't describe you as a whole person, because there's so much more to know about you. And this is why we are here. But it's a good introduction, I think.
Yeah, sounded nice.
Cool. Yeah, super happy that we made it. We have a lot of questions from the community. We have some interesting topics to talk about. How are you these days? Everything's good in Sweden?
Yeah, like it's all good. I mean, we're working hard despite the circumstances.
Yeah.
Now actually today the Sweden opened up like all the restrictions that we've ever had. So I mean, the pandemic is not over, but we don't have any restrictions anymore.
Wow.
So that's nice. Let's hope it stays like positive like this.
Sure. So I'm happy that you didn't cancel the interview, because you had to go outside and enjoy the world without restrictions. So yeah. Let's kick off with the interview. We jump into your story, etc., how do you present yourself? Who are you for the people who don't know you?
Simple but hard question at the same time. But I would present myself as, my name is Malin. I'm from Sweden. I'm a calisthenics athlete. I work with social media and also personal training, both online and like here in Stockholm, Sweden. I think something like that.
Cool. How old are you right now? Oh, was I allowed to ask that?
Of course. I'm actually 29 and I'm turning 30 in May.
Okay.
So almost 30.
Wow. Well, yes, didn't expect that. Like, I think a lot of people didn't expect that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always hear that I look younger, and I take that as a compliment, I guess.
Yeah. I think as a woman, I think you take it as a compliment. Like for guys, I think often it's more like an insult.
The
like,
other way.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. How did you get in touch with the sport? When did you start with calisthenics? Take us a little bit on the road. What brought you into contact with calisthenics?
It's a funny story. A little more than 6 years ago, I applied for a TV show called Ninja Warriors. I don't know if you guys know about it, but yeah, it's like this huge obstacle course, kind of. Yeah, Ninja Warrior course. We had it 2 seasons in Sweden back then. So 2014 and 15, I think. It wasn't a success since it hasn't been since then. Anyway, I applied for it and I got a part of it for some reason. And that's where I met Daniel, my boyfriend. And also a friend, you probably know about him as well, Dana J Star. We became really close friends. And back then, Dana already did calisthenics and he had done it for like 2 years or something. I had no idea about what it was. I haven't heard about it. I haven't seen anything like nothing like it. But Daniel knew about it. And so when we met Dana and he talked about it and showed some clips and stuff, I was like, whoa, that's some crazy stuff. And then it was like, can I come practice with you? I have wanted to try this for so long, because he's seen it on YouTube and stuff. And they were like, you need to come as well. And I was like, no, I don't think so. because like they showed me clips of some like strong guys. I mean, it wasn't that like crazy back then, but still like muscle ups, maybe 360 or something. It was insane for me. But they kind of forced me to to come try it. And today I'm super thankful and happy for it, of course, because I mean, I went to one practice and I kind of fell in love with the art of training. Wow. So yeah, so that's how it all started.
Super cool. How was your level back then, like your fitness level? Were you able to do a pull-up already or
no? Yeah, that's always something that I like tell people when they ask me. When I started, I couldn't do like one single pull-up. I wasn't strong. Like, I mean, of course I have had fundamental strength because I've been doing sports my whole life. But I couldn't do that kind of strength training. So no pull-up at all.
Wow. So no pull-up, like push-ups?
Yes. Some push-ups I could do, I guess. But that's basically the level was pretty low, of course, if we compare to today.
To today. True. Yeah. And how did your training look back then? Like, how did you get the first pull-up? How long did it take and how did your training look like?
Oh my God, it's so hard to remember how I got my first pull-up. Like, I don't think I really worked that much specifically to get the pull-up, but I did other stuff, like other training, of course. And then I kind of got the pull-up just, I don't know how to explain it. For free, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. For free is good.
But I remember, for free, I didn't pay for it. But I remember me and Daniel were walking like in a park, just taking a walk, no training or something. And then I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 weeks into calisthenics training. And he said to me like, now go try a pull up. Mm-hmm. I was like, no way, no, I can't. But then somehow I got myself up there, chin over the bar, and wow. I was like, for a pull up. And wow. it was a nice moment.
I can imagine. Yeah, nice. And like, what was the moment maybe where you thought, yeah, I will stick to this sport. I will become champion. Like, did you have this one moment?
I think pretty early when I started training, I felt like, I think this is something that I might become pretty good at because I learned pretty fast. Maybe not like strength-wise, but technique-wise, freestyle and stuff like that. I actually started to do freestyle before I did strength training, like pull-ups and stuff. Okay. So I learned the like dynamic muscle up before I could do a pull-up.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just like, I started training, I started to watch, of course, on social media, learn more about the sport and stuff. And I just wanted to learn stuff that I found like interesting and cool and that looked like fun to do. And I was drawn more into freestyle skills rather than like static skills and stuff. But that's also something that I can a little bit regret today that I didn't start working on this strength more. But I mean, you live and you learn.
True. And how did your freestyle work look like? Did somebody teach you? Like, did you have like, I don't know, Dana or like Daniel, were they already more advanced so they could give you some advice? Or how did you learn the first freestyle moves?
Yeah, so Dana were, of course, more advanced. Me and Daniel, we started kind of at the same level in freestyle. He was, of course, stronger than me, but in freestyle. So Dana could coach a little bit, but a lot of it is actually self-taught. Mm-hmm. So just like watching, there wasn't many like tutorials back then on freestyle, but just like trying, you know, feeling, trying, watching other guys do it. And yeah.
And how is the calisthenics scene in Sweden? Is it well developed, or were you one of the first ones and then you from there it developed?
It isn't very developed, at least not among girls. I think I was like the second or third girl starting to compete in calisthenics. And I still think it's not that big of a sport in Sweden. And it's unfortunate because it's such a cool sport and it should be more developed, in my opinion.
True. Definitely. Like it feels it's a little bit similar like in Germany, because it's also like a colder country where it's more difficult and to train outside. And yeah,
exactly.
Like yesterday I had the interview with Andriy Strong, like an Ukrainian athlete, and in Ukraine there are parks everywhere. Like the father works together with the son, and everybody as from a child on trains outside. But I don't know for you, but like my parents didn't go to work out in the park with me, so it's like a complete different culture.
Totally 100% agree.
But you said that you worked out your whole life, you did sports your whole life. So maybe you can talk a little about you. What did you do in the past as a child, etc.?
Mm-hmm. Of course. So I started with like soccer and floorball when I was maybe six or something. It's very like huge here in Sweden, and especially in the city that I was born and raised. So I did that like most of my childhood. Then I switched to cheerleading. Wow. 180 switch. Switched to cheerleading. Did that for 8 years. Did my last 2 years in the Swedish national team. But then at some point I felt like I am not progressing anymore. I started a little bit to become afraid to try new things, you know, like flips and stuff. I was pretty tiny back then, so I was the flyer, so the one you throw up to do flips and stuff. I didn't develop anymore. I become a bit scared, so I quit. And then I started to just go to the gym, you know, regular like gym training. Mostly like cardio, because I didn't know better back then. And I thought it was pretty boring, to be honest. I went to the gym on my own for like 1 or 2 years. It was pretty boring. And then that's when the article about Ninja Warrior showed up and I applied. So yeah, that's basically it.
Interesting. So cheerleading on a professional level, like when you said you were part of the national team, like you were doing it all.
Yeah, like competing in the world championships.
Wow. Is it somehow comparable to calisthenics or like to your current athlete career? Like,
I mean, yes and no. Yes, because it takes a lot of courage, a lot of hard work. It's a sport for show as well. But no, because for my position in cheerleading, I was the flyer. I wasn't that strong. So when I said earlier that I had like fundamental strength, it's of course because I know how to tension my body. I need to be like stable and everything up there when they throw me, but that was it. Like, and also what I got from cheerleading is also a lot of like body control and awareness. And that's really good to have in calisthenics, of course. What else? Yeah, I think so. Something.
And cheerleading is already like much more developed, like and professional than calisthenics, or would you say otherwise?
In Sweden, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's pretty equal, because I remember we it was a challenge in when I did cheerleading as well, to like grow the sport here. But I would say, yeah, it should, like, if we look at competitors, like athletes that compete in cheerleading should be a lot more than in calisthenics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of different teams. So yeah, it's bigger than calisthenics.
Interesting. Did you think, like, in the beginning of your calisthenics career that you would become that strong, or like that you would go the path that you went in the last years?
Never in a million years. No, but like my first comment when Dana and Daniel showed me some clips, I was like, I would never be able to do that. Never. And today I'm doing that and more. Yeah. So it's really, really, really cool to like look back at, but also a bit sad that I had that mindset, you know. But yeah, I never thought that I would be where I am today, actually.
But how did you overcome this mindset? Because it's an interesting thing. I would say it's the problem of more people, like, and I feel it's more girls as well who don't think that they are able to do the stuff that they see. How did you overcome the mindset? Is it just ignoring it and just working hard, or like what was the reason why you overcame that negative mindset and still became the best version of yourself?
True, about the girls, I think so as well. I mean, I don't know if I have a super good answer to this, but like, it's hard work. You have to like, if those thoughts come to you, you need to try to like steer them in another direction, work on the positive thing. It's like you need to constantly try, constantly think and try to overcome fears. And there's a lot of ways to do that, like with mindset work. It's not only training, like physical training, but there's a lot of practices you can do. Like I did a lot of, I still do every day, like mindfulness stuff, and it's been really, really helpful for me.
Yeah, because I think you have to work as a calisthenic athlete, you have to work a lot on your mindset. Like, I mean, what you do super well, and what I love to see from you is like sharing the process and you shared the moments where you weren't that happy with your progress, where you were disappointed, and that's something that not everybody does, and that I think is really important to show to the people out there that like Malin, who is sharing like the reels and who seems like the perfect calisthenics athlete, she also has struggles, you know, and I love that you share that, but it takes a lot of courage I guess to share that.
Yeah, I appreciate very much that you say that, because that's something that's really important to me, to like always stay true to myself, like show my full personality, both ups and downs, because we all know that no athlete has only ups. We all know that. So, I mean, in the beginning it was pretty tough to show it, but hey, once you've done it, you know, it's not that bad. So, and people can relate and people appreciate it very much.
That's true. Cool. Looking back now, the way you started, like today, you don't have to start with trial and error like you did, but there are like a lot of cool tutorials online, like for example Daniel Fleefield, he has like super good freestyle tutorial. And there is a lot of good content out there, and also coaches and programs and a lot of stuff is out there. So if you would you would be able to talk to the Malin like years ago at the beginning of your calisthenics career, what would you do differently? What would you tell her?
I would tell her to start work more on the strength first. because if you work on the strength, it will be easier with the freestyle as well. So that's something I would tell her. I think actually that's the only thing that I would do differently if I started today.
Why would you recommend it? Is it because of joint health? Is it because you want to get more points in the competition because of a front lever, or what is it?
Good question. because I would be like, in my opinion, I think I'm lacking a bit in the statics compared to my dynamics. So, and since I'm doing this to compete, that will be like the main reason why I should do it differently. Just to become stronger in the beginning in like those static and strength elements. But also, of course, work on the side with freestyle and like dynamics as well. But back then I did only dynamics, only freestyle, like every single session.
Uh-huh. How many?
But, I mean, maybe yeah. It was like four, I think.
Days per week?
Yeah, per week. Wow. Per day.
Per day. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, but still like four, yeah. I think for a beginner, it's still a lot, like I think it, because it's so intense for the joints, for the shoulders, and as a
exactly.
beginner,
that as well, yeah. Exactly.
Like today you also inspire like a lot of youngsters, and you bring a lot of people and girls into the sport. So maybe speaking of some general advice to beginners, what are there things that you would recommend to every beginner out there when they start with calisthenics?
I don't think it will be anything else than I've already talked about, but like start building a fundamental strength and mobility, and then like take help from people that know, so you don't need to like do the beginner mistakes that I did and that a lot of people do, and have a lot of fun along the way and still do like what you want to do, what you think looks fun. Try to take as much help from the pros as possible, basically.
Sure. Are you still motivated in every workout? Like, are you still like enjoying every training session?
No. I mean, I love training, but I'm not always motivated. No one is. What I do have is discipline. I know what I want to achieve. I know what I need to do to achieve it. So if I'm not motivated, then screw that. Go and do what you need to do. And I always feel happy afterwards.
That's it.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Hard. Yeah. It's simple but hard still. Yeah. Can you share a little bit from your current workout schedule for the week? Like, how does one workout week look like for you?
Mm-hmm. So right now I'm in like a pre-competition season. Mm-hmm. So I'm preparing for the Swedish Nationals, which is in June, I think. Right now, but almost the whole year around, it's pretty much looks the same, but I'm doing, I always do like four training sessions per week of like strength and hypertrophy, and two training sessions of freestyle. And I also like to do some like cardio after that, just like for the heart and for endurance. And right now I'm doing boxing.
Yeah, I saw
after
that.
My freestyle sessions. Yeah. super beginner, but I'm learning. And those four strength sessions, my split right now is two planche sessions and two front lever sessions, because that's my two main goals in like strength and statics at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's how it looks. Yeah.
Nice. Favorite exercises? Do you have some favorite exercise that helped you the most in the past, or like that you're doing currently for planche that you feel the most progress with?
Oh, such a hard question. I mean, there's a lot of questions that you can do, but what I've noticed, like lately, I like to implement weights in my calisthenics training as well. So for example, I have a really clear example of that. A while ago, I worked a lot on the handstand push-up, mm-hmm. which I feel pretty like solid with now. And then I implemented just like regular military presses, for example, which helped a lot. So a lot of like different kind of shoulder exercises in general helped me a lot with the handstand push-up. So I've learned that it's not only about, if you want to learn the handstand push-up, you don't need to only do handstand push-up. You can do a lot more around that, like for the shoulders. So that was a game changer actually for me. And that's what I've been continuing with since then. And I always like to implement weights in my training now.
That's cool. Because especially with the example of the handstand push-up, for example, if you start with handstand pushups and then afterwards you do a military press, you can ignore the balance part and you can focus on the strength. And that's
exactly.
That's cool.
Words.
I'm always interested in how to combine statics and dynamics. Do you think statics and dynamics they help each other, or are they complete different disciplines that need to be trained completely on its own?
Good question. I'm actually not sure. Like I think they could be practiced like completely on their own. But I also think if you train statics, get really strong in that, it could help you in dynamics as well. But on the other way around, like dynamics shouldn't be that helpful for your static skills, so to say. Do you get me?
Yeah, I get you. Like it's from seeing this, like dynamics also, they needs a lot of mobility, and mobility, like for example, for the planche is like counterproductive because the more stiff you are, the easier it is for the planche to have like, you know, like to have a stable planche. And so this is why.
That's why I don't have it.
Yeah. And this is so
flexible.
Yeah, you're true. Like too flexible. That's it. No, but it's like really impressive for me if somebody is like a complete athlete, because it's harder to combine this two, I think, because they need totally different training methods and freestyle. Exactly. I see like what your freestyle training looks like. You do trial and error, right? You try again and again, or like how do you train freestyle? Is it just trying and trying again until you're tired?
Yes. Yeah, basically. And some, like if I want to learn a new skill, I need to like scale it down and do progression work. But mostly, like if there's stuff that I can do, it's just trying it over and over again, basically.
Okay. People asked a lot about your hand balancing skills, like about your stable handstand, which is like really impressive. Do you want to share us a little bit your handstand journey? How did it go, and what brought you the most progress?
Oh, so like I said, I did cheerleading for 8 years. So already back then, I was used to be like upside down standing on my hands. But in cheerleading, we don't, you don't stand still. Mm-hmm. There's more like walking or something like that. But I was used to being upside down. I had that body awareness, but we never really worked specifically on the balance part. So that's actually something that I started with when I started calisthenics, because I noticed that it's an important like skill to have. You need to have a solid handstand, of course. And now I forgot your question.
Yeah,
like, I don't remember what you asked.
what brought you the most progress? Like, I think the first thing was you had to learn to stand, like stand still. I guess I see a lot of parkour guys or like a breakdance that they are awesome in walking and handstand.
Yeah.
But for them, it's hard to stand.
Yeah, like, so I just started working a lot on that. I don't quite remember if I think I just learned it by myself. I think I like Googled for some tips and tricks, how to balance and stuff. And then I pretty much self-taught. I learned to balance pretty fast, I remember. And then I started to work straight after I've learned the handstand, to work back on the handstand press and stuff. And yeah, since I had the like flexibility and enough strength for it, I could learn that pretty fast as well.
And today, if you coach somebody who is who wants to learn the handstand, how is it the most effective? Do you coach with the wall? Do you like balance yourself, like having someone touching you and holding you, or how do you learn the handstand quickest?
Both. Like, I use the wall. I can use a box. Like something to be support, like something that can support the client. It can be a resistance band from the roof that they need to like hold with the feet, like something to support, like whatever, wall, box, me touching them. But I always tell them, like, in the beginning, if like one important thing to like have before they start working on the balance is the mobility, and especially like in the shoulders and the wrists, because if you learn how to balance like with the incorrect technique, like mobility wise, it will be hard to correct that afterwards. So I always tell them to like sort out the mobility first, and then we can start working on the balancing part, like freestanding.
Okay. Do you start with a beginner? Do you start on the ground, or do you start on parallels?
Mostly on the ground. But if like, it depends what they want also. Mm-hmm. But I always recommend, I always start on the ground if they don't say anything else. Like, if they're like, I just want to learn it on the parallels. Okay, let's go with the parallels.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Another question that was also like asked frequently was about your life as an influencer, maybe you can share a little behind the scenes. How is it like? How does your typical day look like? Is it real work? Is it work? Like,
I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that I get that question. Well, it's probably not like as glamorous as many might think. And it's not an easy job. It's not like I wake up, go to the gym, make a video or a photo, and then I post it, and then I'm done with my job for the day. It's actually pretty hard work, if I can say myself. Like, it's a lot of researching, planning, creating content, thinking about giving value all the time to the audience, pressure to make your sponsors happy and proud. Like, a lot of time is spent on answering DMs and comments. Just like, I love it. I wouldn't change it for like any other job today.
That's cool. Was it a conscious decision to become an influencer, or was it just something that developed along the way?
Both yes and no. It was conscious to like start posting on social media and like researching what should we post, what should we write, how should we do it, hashtags, etc. But that it blew up like it did that early, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that's cool. What's your goal? Like, do you have a long-term goal with I don't know, with your social media life, with life in general? Like, where do you see yourself in 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 10, let's say 10 years, 20 is too long.
With social media, I don't have a goal of like getting more followers or something like that. I'm just happy if I can influence people, inspire them, motivate them to like become the best version of themselves. If I can just help as many people as possible with what I do best, I will be happy. So I would say, like, for a more specific example for that would be like online courses, let's say online courses. If those can grow even more, I will probably, like, of course, produce more of them, different ones. That will be great. because then I know I give a lot of value. I help people. They reach out to me to learn something, and I can help them without like speaking one-to-one. How do you say it?
Yeah. And being limited in the people you can talk with in your time. So that's definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
That's definitely cool. Are these also the moments that make you happiest, like when you develop a new course or like post a new tutorial on YouTube or on Instagram, or like and people respond happily to it? Like, is this are these the happy moments in an influencer's life, or what are these?
Definitely, for me it is definitely, and also like I want to make my. I have sponsors as well. That's why I can work with social media, and I work really hard to make them happy and satisfied as well, but also to make me happy. Of course, I'm not just going to do something that they want to see. I'm still going to be me and do it. Yeah. So it's a balance.
True. It's about creating a win-win situation. So something cool for the audience, which brings a cool light on the sponsor. And then, like you profit from building a good relation to your community and to the sponsor. So, yeah.
Exactly. Win-win-win.
Win-win-win. but there are also people out there who are like oriented on lose-lose situations, and I think you also have to deal with some criticism with people on the internet who aren't happy with themselves and who have to criticize. So maybe you want to share a little bit about that. How is it like? Are there like what kind of people? We don't have want to go into detail, but like, how is it like to also have be obligated in your life to deal with these people?
like when I started this journey, like on social media and becoming a public person, when I started to grow, I wasn't really prepared for the criticism, and especially not like as harsh as it can be. People are brutal. Let me say that. So in the beginning, I pretty much took everything personally. I cried because someone told me that I shouldn't look like this, that a woman shouldn't have this much muscles. Insane. But like throughout the years, my mindset has changed a lot. So like today I would never take anything personally, because I know that those comments, mostly about my body and my looks, comes from mostly men. I'm not gonna say only men, but mostly men, that are probably just jealous, and like live in the past, holding on to those like stupid norms about how a woman or a girl should look. So I've been having a hard time like getting comments about it. I've been really sad, really like questioning, do I want to do this really? And it's just, it makes me sad to think about that I've been having those thoughts, you know, because today I would like, it's like this, I'm like, okay, move on, next, like, you know, so yeah.
And it's insane, like when it, I think with a bad mindset or like with not being prepared for it, you from 100 comments or 100 DMs, one is negative and you concentrate on this one. Like you, 99 are positive and people say, yeah, thanks for your content, thanks for being you, etc. And then there's the this one person and you are like so concentrated. Like I know this, like I think it's different as a brand than as a person, like as a public athlete, public person, but still it takes a lot of mental work to concentrate on the good and to concentrate on the positive.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did in the beginning. Of course I got a lot of positive comments, but I focused on the bad ones. Now I'm the completely opposite, so that's nice.
Because I can imagine that people share like happy moments with you, that they send you messages, that they are super inspired, etc. I see all your DMs, like you share that you have to work through, or like you are able to work through. So there has to be a lot of positive things.
A lot. I'm so happy that people share with me as well, because I know like a lot of when I answer all my DMs. And a lot of the people that are writing, when I apply and they apply back, they're like, I never thought that you would answer. Oh my God, you answered me. Like, and that makes it so, so worth it. And that makes me want to apply even more. And that's why I do it, because I mean, they take their time to write to me that I inspired them. They learned this from me. I lost 10 kgs because of you. I went to the gym every day. I'm like, no way I'm not going to answer this, you know? So, I'm super, super thankful and happy for all the messages I get daily.
Nice. Yeah, I also said it in the interview with Calisthenic Movement. Like, I think it was in 2013, and I had shoulder pain while doing pull-ups. And I was asking, I was writing to the Instagram page of Calisthenic Movement. And I was like, I was so surprised that they replied back. And I was so happy. Like, I was so proud, you know, like, oh, damn, they replied to me. And it's like, you can make such a happy moment, like with them taking 10, 15 seconds of their time.
Exactly.
And I think that makes the difference in the audience as well.
100%.
Nice. Diet, nutrition, how important diet is it? Also some questions about it, like what is your viewpoint on nutrition,
like how my nutrition looks like?
Yeah, how important is it for the performance?
I'm all about balance, so I always say like eat everything, but not always. Like don't eat too much of everything, because eating too much of cucumber isn't good either, and too much of chocolate isn't good either. So balance. I'm trying to just like, of course I'm trying to eat more of the like more nutritious stuff. But if I want to have a bite of chocolate on a Wednesday, I'm not going to get anxious about it. You know, I eat it and I'm happy. but to perform good in training, we know that it's important to get good nutrition. All the macros is needed, protein, carbs, and fat. So you shouldn't exclude anything. Like I can't eat bread because la la la, I don't know why. Of course, if you're not allergic, but if you think it will make you fat, you are wrong. Don't exclude, but include instead. So, that's something that I've been doing for years, and that's what makes me feel the best, feel good about myself, and I can perform the best.
Cool. And you're also a big fan of pre-cooking, I think, like preparing the meals, I guess.
Like meal prep.
Meal prep, yeah. Is this also something that you would recommend?
Well, yes, of course, if you don't like to cook every single day. Like, why I meal prep is basically just because I don't enjoy cooking that much.
Yeah.
I want fast food in my system. When I come home from the training, I don't want to need to stand there and cook something. So a meal prep, like a meal box, just to take it out from the fridge, heat it up, eat it. It's perfect. And it also makes you like a little bit more aware of what you're eating throughout the day. So yeah, I can really recommend it, of course.
That's cool. In general, your nutrition, maybe talking about, what kind of nutrition, like, do you eat fish, a lot of fish, or like meat, or like what kind of, how does your nutrition in detail look like?
I try to eat everything, but I have a little bit, I don't enjoy that much to eat protein in like in meat or chicken or fish or something like that. I'm a carb girl. I love carbs. I can eat like so much carbs, but I'm fighting to get that protein into my system. So thank God for supplements. No, but like I eat everything, but I also try to eat as balanced as possible. So vegetarian protein sources as well, as chicken or fish or whatever.
It's the first time that I hear the word carb girl. I think I never heard that before.
I don't know what that was. I don't think I've heard it either, to be honest.
Might be a cool thing to write in your bio, except like replacing the Nordic girl. Champion with carb girl, you know, like.
Yeah, like instead of cowgirl, you know.
Yeah.
Carb girl.
Nice. So speaking of supplements, what are some supplements that you would that you take just for yourself? What supplements do you take for yourself?
Just like protein powder and creatine is the only supplements I take. And protein powder, I take it because like I said, I have a hard time eating protein sources like from food. So this when I don't get enough protein in my system, I eat some protein powder, and it's basically every day. So. but like it's not like because you train, you like work out, you have to take protein powder, you have to take supplements. Absolutely not. I just do it because because I don't get enough from the food.
So protein powder is quite clear, something is self-explaining a little, but creatine, like what is the reason why you take creatine? How does it help you in your life?
So basically the reasons I take creatine is for performance, to perform better, for more power when I train, and also for recovery. And it's like it's the most well-studied supplement out there. And it works for me. I've done it for maybe 2 years now, I think. And I don't have any plans to quit it.
Cool. Do you get heavier with creatine?
No. I know some like get like swollen or how do you say like water filled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it's nothing I've noticed on myself. So I think it's very individual.
Okay.
I get a little bit more tight, mm-hmm. if you can say that, but not heavier. No.
Okay. Cool. That's good. Like creatine.
Do you take it?
I don't take it. This is why, like, I'm always interested in why people take it. I think I know a lot of weighted people who take it, like for weighted one rep max, etc. I'm just interested in how it helps you for the freestyle performance. But like strength wise, you said it helps.
Yeah.
Interesting. What can we expect from you this year? Like, what are some goals that you still have for 2022?
Well, in like training wise, like skill wise, mm-hmm. I want to unlock like a solid straddle punch, and a front lever would be amazing as well. Like some days I have a pretty okay straddle, but a full one would be amazing. Competition wise, I'm planning to do 3 competitions this year, which is more than I'm used to. First of all, right now I'm preparing for the Swedish Nationals, as mm-hmm. I told you. And then of course the Nordics. I don't know when that will be this year, but I think after the summer, in the fall. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to do my first world championships. Because I think it's about time.
Wow.
So those are my competition goals for this year.
Wow. That's super nice.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, what is the reason that you didn't go to the world championship yet?
because, well, the first years, let's say the first 3 years, I didn't feel I was like, I don't really want to say this, but I didn't feel I was good enough mm-hmm. to go there. Whenever I do a competition, I want to know that I can perform good and then I can place pretty like okay in the mm-hmm. top. I want to be in the top. I'm not going to lie. So the first 3 years I was like, I didn't feel ready for it. And then I remember some year it got canceled because of COVID, I think. And then 1 year I was injured in my wrist. So I think, yeah, so this is like the sixth year that I have the opportunity to go there. I really, there's something I really want to experience.
Yeah. It's on the bucket list.
Yes, so to say.
Nice. Yeah, super curious. Like I can, I think we also, because we also thought, yeah, who will become world champion this year? Female, male. And we also thought, yeah, why didn't she participate yet? Like, this is like, we were sitting there and we're like, why? And so, yeah, now we have the answer. Yeah, but
she's
that's cool.
Coward.
Yeah, she's sitting in cold Sweden eating carbs and replying to DMs. She doesn't have time
I don't have time. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So now you know the answer.
Yeah. Cool. Super. Looking forward to see you there, and will be a good experience. Like, will be a great experience just for life in general. No matter how it will go.
Yeah. True.
Cool. Yeah, we're slowly coming to an end of the interview. We always have some quick questions at the end of every interview. And I will start off with asking, what's your favorite food?
Probably like tacos.
Okay.
Mexican tacos.
Nice.
Yeah. I like to vary. Like I'm not a fan of eating. It's actually I don't even know if tacos is my favorite food, because tomorrow I could say sushi. And yesterday maybe I said hamburger. Actually, I don't know.
Okay. But today it feels like taco. So
today it feels like
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The carb girl has spoken. obvious question for everybody who follows you on social media, but are you more a dog or a cat person?
Dog person. Oh, he's here. Come, Ines. Come, say hi.
He's shy. Oh, hello.
Hello. Okay, go back to sleep. Poor dog. Yeah, dog person.
Nice. What's your favorite skill?
At the moment, I would say handstand push-up.
Cool. what athletes inspire you?
What athletes?
Mm-hmm.
I would say like athletes who are of course on a high level, but at the same time are really humble, like down to earth. They don't think they are much better than anyone else. I think that's really inspiring. And if I'm gonna name drop here, I have to say my dear friend Simon Imhauser.
Wow.
Of course. He's 100% my biggest inspiration at the moment. Also because like he's pretty new to the sport, actually. He hasn't done it so many years, and he's really on a such high level. He's so humble. He has like the best personality, and yeah, I just love him.
That's great. Nice. Pull or push? Are you more a pull or push person?
Push.
Push. Cool. Favorite movie?
Ooh, I like series better than movies. I'm not a movie person, really. So if I can say a series instead, I would say La Casa de Papel.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Nice. Yeah. What's your favorite music genre?
For like training, trap or rap, I would say. But outside of training, pop maybe. Or maybe like just what's on the today's hit list on Spotify. That's my favorite.
Nice. Yeah, it all really like, it seems you're somebody who lives every day as it is. Like one day is sushi and what's on the Spotify list. And on the other day it's tacos and what's on the Spotify list. So yeah, for you, every day is different.
Exactly.
Nice. What was the best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
Beast of the Bars.
Yeah.
I like events that are well organized, and Beast of the Bars is one of the best organized events that I've been at. And also, I didn't compete, but FIBO, like World of Bar Heroes. What year was it?
2019. Last time.
Yeah. Those two, I would say.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. And the final question, what's your message to the calisthenics community?
Ooh. Good one. Well, I would say it's never too late to start, because I started calisthenics pretty late, I think. There's always something that you can do. I didn't think I would be able to do anything, and look at me now. And like, even if your goal feels so far away, there's always somewhere that you can start. And what else? Don't let anyone tell you what you can or can't do. And just never never forget who you are. Be yourself. Okay, enough.
Nice. Cool. Thanks for sharing.
In quotes.
Yeah. It looked like I was thinking maybe you have the whole wall full of posters and you're just reading the different quotes, but yeah.
I actually have two of them.
Got you.
Just two.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for this interview. How can people get in touch with you? How can they reach you? And yeah, how can they learn from you as well? You're offering coaching, I guess, the plans. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to talk a little about that.
Yeah, like if you just want to reach out to me, the best would be on Instagram, DMs, whatever it is. If you want like coaching, I would go to my website, kellyexpert.com. I offer online coaching, like personal training, and also online courses that are like general and not customized. Yes.
Really cool. We will link, we will put the links in the description so people can find your Instagram if they don't know yet, but also the website. And yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to you for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you. It was a pleasure to finally have you on the podcast. Now at the end, I can say that I tried since months to get you on the podcast.
Stop.
Anyways, I'm super happy that you made the time, that you shared so much from your workout, from your life, and it was a super pleasure to talk with you. And before you can end the episode, Marlene, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end. I'm super proud and happy that somebody listens to an interview for an hour. And if you like the episode, give it a thumbs up, helps a lot. And you can say goodbye.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm also happy that I finally took my time. it was an honor to be here. So thank you so much. And thank you all for listening. And maybe we'll see each other in the future.